Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
We'll try a third time. Good morning, Bethel. Thank you. It's really great to see you here today. We've got a bit of a different service today. How many of you, first of all, put your hand up if you were able to make use of the prayer room this week? Just want to see how many. Quite a few of you. For those of you who don't know, we just come to the end of a week of 24/7 prayer here at Bethel. It finishes tonight at 6 o'clock, started last Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. I know some of you have been really committed and been there really early, or some of you have been there through the night, and others of you have just come with your families and things. And what today really is a service that includes all of our families, so our children and our parents and grandparents and adults as well. And what we want to do today is just reflect on prayer. We've come to almost the end of a week of prayer. So what we're going to do today is really reflect on prayer, look at what prayer means. What did it mean to you this week? And some of our young people are coming up and they're going to share what prayer means to them. Some of our junior youth group are going to do a skit about prayer, so encourage them. This is really nerve-wracking when you're 10, 11 years old, standing in front of you, scary lot, on a Sunday morning. But just before we get started, has anyone got something they'd like to say, that maybe it was an experience they had this week or something they found in the prayer room, or it could have been something that they were really blessed by in the prayer room? Has anyone got something they'd like to share? Anyone? Otherwise, I'll have to do it. Emma.
Two things, actually. I kind of, the first time I went in there, I just wanted to cry. It's just this overwhelming feeling of just wanting to cry. And the other one was, I just took my shoes off, thinking, you know, this is holy ground. Take your shoes off, this is holy ground. Yeah.
Yeah, crazily, we decided it would be someone else. Jenny.
I know we can all pray at home. Everybody's got the opportunity to pray wherever they are. But I just think the act of actually intentionally, you know, walking or getting in the car to come down and pray made it really special. And the other thing that I found lovely was reading what everybody else had been praying about. That was just so special.
James.
Yeah, I'd echo that wholeheartedly. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in busy lives that we kind of slot prayer in. And so it was great to come and intentionally devote an hour and a half. And personally, I found it took me to a different place.
Yeah.
That I've experienced before when I've gone into my room and shut the door. But actually doing that at home is often quite hard. And so the intentionality of coming down here, no other distractions, and being in a place where you read where everybody else has been at, really helped me get to that place where I think God wants us to be. So it was really good for that.
Anybody else? Karen?
Yeah, I think for me, you come down and you think, how are you going to fill this hour? And then before you know it, you're deep in prayer and God is revealing things to you and you're praying about things you didn't even know. They were so deeply tucked away. So it was really powerful.
Thank you. I think for us, at the start of the week, we thought it'd be a good idea to come down at 5 o'clock every morning and pray for an hour. That led to an interesting week. However, I'd just like to echo what everyone else has said, really. Actually, being intentional to put yourself in the presence of God, I think, is what it is. And yes, we can do that at home, but actually coming down and making the effort to be there, and I'm coming to pray, and I'm going to spend an hour just praying. Some mornings I sat there in the corner, was a bit tired, and if you went in there, there was some stones with the names of God on. And a couple of months, I just picked up one of those and just sat there. Just in silence, almost. And just, it's that stop in our busy lives and giving space to listen to God. And we're going to do some of that today. We've got some different stations around the room, which we're going to go around later, where we can put requests, we can put things we're thankful about. We've got a corner just to be still and just listen. And we've got some different activities going on, creative activities later on for the kids as well. So hopefully we'll recreate some of that in this room today, if you weren't able to experience that. The overwhelming thing that when I've spoken to people, the response was, first of all, it echoes everything you guys have said, but also, couldn't we do this all the time? That's something we're going to look at, is whether we're able to create a space that is either permanent or semi-permanent. The lounge is used quite a bit by other groups, but if there's another space in church where we can create a space that people can go to get away, because I think it's important sometimes to pick us up out of our situation and go somewhere to pray. That has real benefit sometimes. So we're going to start. We're going to sing a couple of songs. I'm going to hand over to Joe now, who's going to introduce a couple of songs to us, and then we've got some different activities and things going throughout the morning as well. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, hi. Just before we start, something came up on my Facebook last night that I thought I'd quite like to share this morning. It's a little story, and I think it's American. But anyway, one Sunday morning at a small southern church, a new pastor called on one of his older deacons to lead the opening prayer. The deacon stood up, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered where this was going. The deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was totally perplexed. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour, but after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits. Lord, help us to realize when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whenever we don't understand what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you are making. After you get through mixing and baking, it'll probably be something even better than biscuits. Amen." And that kind of spoke to me, saying, like, okay, we may be going through hard times now, and what we're currently doing, we don't like lard or buttermilk or something. But if you look to the long run, it's going to be something even better than biscuits. So yeah, as Josh said, we're going to introduce some new songs today that we're going to start introducing throughout 2018. So you don't feel like you have to try and join in, but you're welcome to stand and sing them, and you can look at the words, and if you want, you can just pray about them or read them, or if you know them, you're allowed to join in. Okay, so you'd like to stand if you're able to.
How do we know that our God is a great big God? We sing about it, we talk about it, but how do we know? How do we get to experience this great big God that we have? This is an interactive service, so you're going to have to help me a bit. So you can shout at me. This is the one time in church. Didn't shout loud enough. Creation, we get to know from creation. We look outside, we look at the trees, we look at newborn babies, we look at that sort of thing. This God is an awesome God. We were talking yesterday in Hands On about how he holds the seas in his hands. That's how great, big, and that's how awesome our God is. How else can we experience, thinking about what we've been doing this week, how else can we experience and how awesome and how big our God is? By talking to him through prayer. By having a conversation with him. Better still, by listening to him. And we're going to do a little bit of that a bit later on. But first, I need probably four volunteers. Preferably small type volunteers. Jaden, Erin, Eli. One more volunteer. Anyone? You can be older if you want to get joined in, guys. That's fine. One more? Okay, we'll do it. We'll go through. So, we're going to pause for a minute. And I know we've had a lot of different people coming into Bethel. And a lot of you guys have been here for a long time. Some of you have only been here recently. Okay, guys, our next slot, what we're going to go into next, we do need a bit of quiet for this next part, but it will involve you moving around again. What I'd like you to do, Lou's going to play some music for us in just a minute. If you've still got your bingo sheet, if you know one person who answered one of those questions. As a group, what I'd like you to do now is go pray with that person. And if it's someone you don't know, even better, because this might give you an opportunity to get to know them. So we have to move around, but if we can keep the noise levels down for this section, so it means not within your team, but get up, all of you if you're able to, go to someone else in another team and go pray with them. So maybe there's something specific that's on their heart that they want to say, oh, can you just pray for me in this? Maybe it's something generic. You both have a heart for the persecuted church, so you want to pray for that. So this is your opportunity to get up as a group. Involve, if you have children in your group, please, please, please involve them. Because oftentimes it's our children who pray the most profound prayers. Oftentimes it's our kids who challenge us when they pray. Because they actually still believe that our God is a great big God and he can do anything that he wants to, and he's unlimitless. When we get a bit older and we get jobs, we get life gets in the way. Sometimes we forget that. So please, that's why I said if you've got a group, make them the captain of your team. Get them to choose the person that they would like to go pray with. And actually, if they feel comfortable with it, actually get them to pray. And if you're not involved, listen. Listen to the prayers of our children, because they're really, really amazing. So we're going to do this for about 2 or 3 minutes. Lou's going to play some music, and then, so if we keep the noise down, and then go, get up out of your seat, go to someone else and pray with them for a few minutes. So, off you go. Just looking around the room and seeing all of you actually getting involved and all of you actually going to someone else to pray with them. There's something really, really special about that. Oftentimes, because of how we live and the lives we live, we don't get opportunity to do that. We don't get the opportunity to go to share that special time in prayer with each other. And that's what the prayer room has been about this week. And I know some of you have been there on your own. Some of you have been there in ministry groups. As a Radford team, we were there at 8 o'clock this morning praying together. And because of the way we roll, we had breakfast together afterwards as well. Has to involve food somewhere along the line. And we were able to bless some of the guys, Derek and Tom and Rachel, got in on the act and we shared some of our bacon sandwiches with them. But actually coming together to pray is important. We look at in Ephesians where it talks about Ephesians chapter 6 where it talks about the armor of God. It's got, it lists all these amazing bits of the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit. But the last verse at the end of that, and it says, pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. That's what we have, prayer and the power of prayer. And when we realize we're actually, it's not just, when we approach God, not just in a flippant way, but we realize we're actually stepping into God's presence when we pray. And we get an understanding of who God is. We sing the kids about how big our great God is. And we sing those to teach them the truth that our God is actually that big. So whatever we're facing today, whatever life situation we find us in, whatever problems or issues or even great things that are going on in our life, our God is greater. Our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. And it's when we pray together, we're able to encourage each other. We're able to get into a space with each other in his presence. And it was really awesome just to see you guys. Actually, thank you. Thank you. That was a blessing to me. I don't know I hope some of you guys found that a blessing as well. Okay, we're going to, our band are going to lead us in another worship song. And then we've got some of our younger teenagers coming up to tell us what prayer means to them.
This is one of the new songs, but we're going to use it as a reflective song, so don't feel like you have to stand. You're welcome to sit, and Barry's waving a basket at me, so we will be taking the offering in this song as well.
today. We've not prepped them for this. I just asked if they wanted to share what it meant to them, what prayer meant to them. So, you see.
Prayer means to me a time where I can just be still and talk to God and thank him and ask him. It's an easy way of connecting with God.
Okay, our other teenager is going to come up and share what she thinks, feels prayer means to her.
I know him well. What does prayer mean to me? It's our lifeblood, isn't it? Talking to God. It's our direct route. And I don't know about you, I just want to echo what everybody has said this week. We can pray to God all the time. I used to always say when I was a teacher, I used to talk to the children how I love sitting on the toilet praying to God because it's the one place where I get peace and quiet. But this, well, that's if you've got children, unless they're of a certain age, because then they follow you into the toilet as well, don't they? But anyway, but this week has been a bit like that in a sense, where we take ourselves out of our daily rush, because we can pray to God wherever, and he wants us to pray whenever and all the time. It says pray without ceasing, but there is something that has been special this week about that getting away and putting that side away and intentionally coming to a place to pray. And I came down with different guises. I came on my own, I came as groups and things like that, and every time it was different. Every time is different, and sometimes I just sat there and my Bible readings to start off with, and then reflected on that and prayed. And it was not just, I don't know, sometimes when we say we're praying without ceasing, it's just rocket prayers going up saying, please God, be with this person, be with that person. It's always, I want this, I want that. This week was about coming and just sitting and being still and saying, God, what are you saying to me? And us taking that time to listen to God. And prayer is, sometimes I think we get trapped into prayer thinking of God, we're talking to God, but we forget the listening. And I think for a lot of us this week, that listening bit really took a different form. And just having those slots of time to come down and just sit and reflect and talk to God, but also spend time listening to what he had to say to us is really special. And as people have said as well, I'd love us to carry on, because I think we need to carry on that that intentionality of actually sitting and listening to God. And that's really hard in our daily lives to do, and we've just learned this week what listening, how it can really affect us and what can God say to us. So it's really good.
Thank you, Lindsay. She is only 19. Okay, at this time, if you're in the Trailblazers age group of junior church and you would like to go out and see the prayer room and you would like to go spend some time in the prayer room, Jane is at the back now. So if you're in that age group and you'd like to go into the prayer room, this is your opportunity to get up and go see Jane at the back. Don't everyone get up and run it once. And Eric as well. Eric's going out as well. And after a short time, Jane and Eric will be coming back in, and then there'll be an opportunity, if you're in the Splash Junior Church age group, to go out and see the prayer room if you haven't done and you'd like to as well. Okay, so now we have a bit of acting for you. Our same group of very helpful young teenagers over here who've got involved today, they've got a little skit based around prayer for you today. It's probably a story that if you've been around church for a while, you know really well. I'm not going to tell you what it is. See if you can pick it up from the conversations that are going back and forth. So guys, you ready? If you've never met any of these guys before, by the way, after the service, please do go up and encourage them. Tell them how much of an amazing job they've done today.
A long time ago, a lady called Hannah with her husband Elkanah and his other wife Peniah, yes, two wives. Peniah had children, but Hannah didn't have any as much as she longed for them.
Oh, look at my beautiful children. Aren't they gorgeous? Don't you think they take after their mother?
Peniah would make fun of Hannah, calling her names and just being generally unkind because of her lack of children.
Oh, Hannah, haven't you seen my gorgeous children? How clever they are and how beautiful they are. Why haven't you got any kids yet, Hannah? Maybe God doesn't like you. In fact, maybe you're not fit to be Elkanah's wife. Maybe he should get rid of you and I'll have him all to myself.
Even the fact that Elkanah loved her more couldn't console Hannah. Then one year, they all went up to the temple to pray, just like every other year, and Hannah poured her heart out to God.
Please, God, all I ask is for one son, and if you give him to me, then I will give him back to you.
Just then, the priest Eli came in.
What are you doing, woman? Are you drunk? It's still morning. What's this world coming to?
My Lord, please, I'm not drunk. I'm heartbroken. I haven't been able to have any children, and I was just asking God to grant me this one request.
May God grant you what I have asked him.
Elkanah and his family went back home, and in time, Hannah became pregnant. Hannah finally has a baby boy and calls him Samuel. As soon as Samuel was old enough, Hannah held up her promise to God and took the boy to live at the temple and serve God there. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, both Eli and Samuel had laid down to sleep, and Samuel heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel, thinking of his old Eli calling him into his room.
Eli, what do you want? Don't you know it's the middle of the night? I'm trying to get some sleep here.
I didn't call you, you crazy boy. Go back to sleep. I knew there was something strange about this family.
Samuel lay back down in his bed and was just getting comfortable when it started again. Samuel, Samuel, thinking it was old Eli calling him again, he got up and went into his room.
Eli, you crazy old man. You're shouting in your sleep or something. What do you want? Don't you know it's the middle of the night? I'm trying to get some sleep here.
I didn't call you, you crazy boy. Go back to sleep.
Samuel lay back down in his bed and was just getting comfortable when it started again. Samuel, Samuel, thinking it was old Eli calling him the third time, he got up and went into his room.
Eli, this isn't funny anymore. I've got a busy day tomorrow. Will you stop messing me about?
Samuel, my boy, it honestly wasn't me, and there was no one else here. It must be the Lord. If you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Slightly bemused, Samuel returned to his bed, and just as he was starting to drift off, he heard the voice again. Samuel, Samuel.
Speak, for your servant is listening.
I think you guys all need to take a bow. Encore. So most of you probably would have heard that story before. You know, you've heard of Samuel, you've heard of the story where he's lying in his bed and God's talking to him and he doesn't get who it was. But again, you might be thinking, well, I get that God was calling him, but what's that got to do with prayer? Everything. We saw in the start of that where Hannah, despite the abuse she was getting from her husband's other wife, didn't have children, but she came and she prayed. And she poured her heart out to God. We heard that how in that story God answered prayer. But unfortunately, as Lindsay was sort of alluding to when she was telling us about prayer, oftentimes we have this skewed idea of what prayer actually is. And oftentimes we find our prayers normally go something like this. Lord, it's a really, really cool idea, and I need you to bless it, Lord. Or it's, Lord, I really, really needed a holiday, Can you send me some cash so I can go away somewhere sunny? Or we pray, Lord, I would really, really like this for my birthday. Oh, Lord, I want this and I need this. And actually, God, I need you to do X, Y, and Z for me. And oftentimes when we come to God and pray, it can sound like that, can't it? It can almost sound like we're the one in charge and God is supposed to do what we want him to do. And oftentimes our list goes on and on and on. If we sit there and think about it, there's probably similar things that we ask God time and time again. And maybe if we're having a good day and we're feeling good about ourselves, thank you here and there. Oh, thank you for giving me this amazing holiday I went on last year. Thank you for my lovely suntan that I've got. But how often, as we saw from that skit with Samuel, do we stop? How often in prayer do we not say a word? How often in prayer do we stop still and just listen? Oftentimes we find that God doesn't shout and scream and shout at us in trumpets with the angels coming down into our bedroom or prayer room. Oftentimes it's the still, small voice of God. And when we've got all this noise going on and we've got all these requests, we're almost offloading to God. And that's okay, because God says, bring your requests to me. But it's about so much more than that. Sometimes it's just about sitting down and shutting up. Sometimes it's about actually not speaking. Sometimes it's about just sitting there and listening to God. The challenge for each of us from the skit that the guys did there, just the very last thing that Samuel said, how often when we come to God in prayer do we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So I need one volunteer who's got very safe hands. I need a volunteer, small person perhaps, who's got safe hands. Anyone? Otherwise I'm just going to forget myself and I'm all lonely up here and you guys are bored at looking at just me. Anyone? One volunteer who can hold a glass jar? Lucy? Okay, Lucy. Thank you. Getting used to this. So who can tell me, Lucy, hold, oh, yeah, I thought that as well. Who can tell me what might be in that glass jar? Now, there used to be pasta in it, Holly said, yeah. I stole it out of our kitchen and emptied the pasta out of it so I could use it for today. Who has an idea what might be in there? There's water in this half. What might be in the bottom? So it's sand, actually. It's not the kind of fine sand that you play with. It's builder sand, because that's the only sand I could find. So who can shout out some things that they've got on this week? Maybe if you've got a busy week, just shout out some things you've got going on in your life this week.
Assignments.
Busy life over there, assignments. When were they due in? They're a couple of weeks ago, or in a couple of weeks. Okay. And any of you guys who are here, hands-on, you've also got assignments, just as a reminder there. Anyone else got something they've got on this week? What have you got on this week? Going to see? Rachel's going to go see a band tonight. Woo! Busy sexual life. Anyone else? Anyone else? Something they've got on this week? You know, we've all got work, we've got school. He's got a t-shirt on this week, that's really good. Going to Iceland. You guys lead much more interesting lives than I do, bands in Iceland. Not the shop. Not the shop, okay. Mum's gone to Iceland again. Anyone else? I'm sure we've all got busy weeks, haven't we? We're going to work, we're sorting the kids out, taking them to school, or we're going to see parents, or we're going to visit relatives. Oftentimes our lives are so busy and it's just one swirl from one day to the next. It strikes you when you've got an 8-year-old at the end of the year, they're like, where did they go? And like, even our kids get wrapped up in it, don't they? They get wrapped up and they're so busy going from activity to activity, from dance perhaps, Cubs to Scouts, to whatever it is. It's one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And it's normally, if you're a parent, it's past 9 o'clock by the time you sit at night. And by that time, you've downed your tea and you've fallen asleep on the sofa or whatever it is. And our lives are just so rammed full, aren't they? So what I want you to do Just start talking to the person next to you. Everyone start having a conversation to the person next to you for a minute. I know you've done that. You were really good at this earlier. So just start talking about the weather. We all like talking about the weather. Anything you like. Okay, I'm really glad you're all getting involved today in actually talking and moving around. Getting to know the people around you, that's really, really great. Next Sunday, the scary thing is you could try sitting somewhere new. Sit somewhere you haven't sat before. No one ever sits on the front row. Okay, what could you hear? What have you been able to hear for the last 2 minutes? Chatter. How many of you could hear the conversation I was having with Lucy here at the front? No one. Lucy couldn't really understand me either. Oftentimes our relationship with God is like the last 2 minutes. Because our lives are so crammed full and our heads are so full, when we come to God, we've got all this noise bounding around in our head. We've got all this stuff going on and around in our head. We've got all this stuff. We're actually thinking, I can give you 2 minutes now, God, because I've got all this other stuff to sort out over here. I've got to go make the kids lunches. I've got to go pick them up from school. Or I can cram you in between my shower and when I put my makeup on, perhaps. I don't really, honestly. Do I, Lucy? But it's a lot like this. It's a lot like this jar, Lucy. Our lives are a lot like that jar, aren't they?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. That's what our lives look like, oftentimes. And instead of sand and water, what have we got now? We've got a muddy, mush mess. Yeah, it's just all kind of jumbled up and it's confused and you can't see what's water and you can't see what's sand. Because we've got all these little bits going crazy all over the place. And if we just about peer through, we might be able to see the sand. And oftentimes, that's what our lives are like. If we peer through the murkiness and the mud and all the noise that's going on around, we might just be able to see God. And what this week has been about with in our prayer room has been actually holding the jar still. It's about holding the jar still so we can see God, so we can experience God, so we can see the difference that God makes, so we can actually see and experience and listen to God. The question for us now, the last week has been amazing, being able to go into the prayer room and be still. The challenge for me and for you guys now is, what are you going to do next week when there is no prayer room? How are we going to be able to make space in our lives to get time out of our schedule on our own, with our families, with our friends, in God's presence? Have a think about that for a minute. Chris is going to get you up at 5 o'clock every morning. He thinks he is. it's a nice idea, isn't it? But think about, how are we going to do that? Because what we've been doing here this week has been great and so special, but that should really be a reflection of our lives every week. The prayer room should be a reflection of our lives, how we actually make space together. It's been really special as we've been going on in the mornings. Some mornings there's some people that have been there all night. We met them as they were coming out. One person in particular was there at 5 o'clock in the morning, been there for a few hours and was still in her pajamas. I'm not going to tell who that was, Ruth Edgecombe. looked quite warm pajamas, I suppose. But also, as we've been going in and out, we were leaving at 6. Chris and Susie came every morning. And actually, I found that massively encouraging. That actually, it's almost you're handing the baton onto someone else who's coming to pray. But how can we do that in our own lives? How can you make that space in your life this week for God? How can we... That'll take quite a while to separate, but how can we get the separation there where we can get time out with our family as well? Where we can make time out to pray with our children? Where we can prioritize in our families that this is what's important. Our relationship with God is the most important thing. It trumps everything else. But unfortunately, with all the other noise, our priorities get mixed up. They get skewed, don't they? We get busy lives. And that's what gets slotted in at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, if we have time. And how all of you have been saying how amazing that experience of being in God's presence. What would be amazing if in 2 weeks' time we're all at the front of this room again and saying, do you know what? I've had an amazing 2 weeks being in God's presence because I've made time for God. And that's a challenge for me, a challenge for all of us, how we fit that in, how we make that a priority in our lives and our homes, with our families, with our neighbours, whoever that might be. There's a verse from Psalm 46:10, which I think is over there, which says, very simple psalm, it says, be still and know that I am God. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. Go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. We may not be able to come to the prayer room every day. But here's an idea. Is there a space in your house? A broom cupboard, a closet, something? Is there a little area in your house that you could dedicate? Say, I'm going to make a point of going there to pray. Because we've all said going somewhere to pray has been important to us. Put a shed in the bottom of your garden, whatever it might be. Because it's different when we're intentionally going somewhere to pray. Dave and Jenny have got a spare one in the bottom of their garden. Oh, sorry, it's a summer house, isn't it? There's a nice path that goes up to it. It's now a prayer room, yeah, exactly. But just think creatively like that, you know? Yes, we can pray to God at any time, any space, anywhere, and he will listen to us. We look in scripture, we have examples of that throughout scripture. But taking time out of our busy lives and actually going somewhere to pray and say, this is my prayer space. I'm going to pin things to the walls. I'm going to pin prayers to the walls, which is something we're going to do in here in a short while. I know we've got new paint in that, but I think prayers are probably more important than new paint, eh, Tom? But we can touch up the new paint if we have to. Okay, so what we're going to do now is, you might notice there's some signs on the walls round and about. We've got some different, lots of them say corner on them. Please forgive that, because we were hoping to have a corner, but with the issues we're having with the baptistry, we've only got one corner. So over there we have our requests corner or requests wall, where in essence there's instructions on every station. No station is manned today, so you have to read the instructions. If you have children, connect your children wherever they might be in this room and go around with them and interact with your kids. If you're someone who doesn't have children but you know someone else's children, act with them. So we've got a request corner. There's some post-it notes over there where you can write down requests, pin them to that door, put them to the wall. If you want to get a bit more creative, there's some colours, there's some paper. Draw a picture. If you're a child and you like to draw a picture about something you want to pray to God about. On the back wall up there as well, we've got a thankfulness corner. Things on the wall, post-it notes or pictures, things we want to thank God for. It's really, really important in prayer that we actually make space to thank God. In this corner out here, once the young ones have moved out of this space, this is going to be our stillness corner. So in this corner, no talking in this corner at all. You can sit on the chairs, you can sit on the beanbags, you can take your shoes off if you want to. There you go, we'll get really radical and you can take your shoes off. And just actually be still. That's our corner to try and be still and try to listen. Now there's going to be lots of noise in the room. Our lives are like that. And we have to work hard at being still and listening to God. So if you're in that corner, you're probably going to have to really, really focus and really concentrate on God. On the wall over there, we've got something that says New Beginnings. And there's a piece of paper with two sides on it. We're at the start of a new year. What we can do on those pieces of paper, if you'd like to, write on one side things you'd like to step into with God this year. And on the other side, there might be things actually you want to leave behind. Things you want to leave behind this year. And there's a verse on there that says, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to say it wrong if I can't see it, and striving towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for what God has in Christ Jesus. So this is your opportunity. I know you can do it because you've done it a few times already today. Get up, move around, If you have children in the room, go around with children. If you can, spend some time at different stations. We're going to do this for about maybe 10 minutes if you'd like to. If you'd like to stay where you are in your seats and pray or pray with someone next to you, feel free to do that. This isn't compulsory, but if you can get involved, it'd be really great. So we're going to have about 10 minutes. Get up, go around to the different areas and see what God has to say to you. Yeah, thank you. But make time at the end of today, we've got a few more things we've done in about 10 minutes, to go around and read what's on the walls, look at the pictures. There's a few pictures on that wall. There's some on that wall. And if you want to come back and visit this corner before you leave today, feel free to do that. I've got a four-year-old who put brown sauce on the thankfulness corner because they discovered brown sauce just this morning when we had breakfast with bacon sandwiches. Very source-oriented person. Okay, so just to finish off, I've got a video I want to show you, which is based on something that someone part of the 24/7 prayer movement. So what we've done here for the last week is part of something much, much bigger, which goes worldwide. And the vision that God gave someone at the very, very beginning of it to not only have a week of prayer themselves, but then to encourage others to have weeks of prayer and the importance of spending time in God's presence. This video is based on that. And then when that's finished, Joe and the worship team are going to come and we're going to sing two more songs in worship as well. So why don't we just watch the video? It's about 3 or 4 minutes long and then we'll go into a time of worship with Joe and the band. Thank you.
So this guy comes up to me and says, "What's the vision? What's the big idea?" I open my mouth and words come out like this. The vision. The vision is Jesus. Obsessively, dangerously, undeniably, Jesus. The vision is an army of young people. You see bones, I see an army. And they are free from materialism. They laugh at 9 to 5 little prisons. They could eat caviar on Monday and crust on Tuesday. They wouldn't even notice. They are mobile like the wind. They belong to the nations. They need no passport. People write their addresses in pencil and wonder at their strange existence. They are free, yet they are slaves of the hurting and dirty and dying. What's the vision? The vision is holiness that hurts the eyes. It makes children laugh and adults angry. It gave up the game of minimum integrity long ago to reach for the stars. It scorns the good and strains for the best. It is dangerously pure. Light flickers from every secret motive, every private conversation. It loves people away from their suicide leaps, their Satan games. This is an army that will lay down its life for the cause. 1,000,000 times a day, its soldiers choose to lose that they might one day win the great well done of faithful sons and daughters. Such heroes are as radical on Monday morning as Sunday night. They do not need fame from names. Instead, they grin quietly upwards and hear the crowds chanting again and again, "Come on!" And this is the sound of the underground, the whisper of history in the making. Foundations shaking, revolutionaries dreaming once again. Mystery is scheming in whispers. Conspiracy is breathing. This is the sound of the underground, and the army is disciplined. Young people who beat their bodies into submission. Every soldier would take a bullet for his comrade at arms. The tattoo on their back boasts, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Sacrifice fuels the fire of victory in their upward eyes. Winners, martyrs, who can stop them? Can hormones hold them back? Can failure succeed? Can fear scare them, or death kill them? And the generation prays like a dying man, with groans beyond talking, with warrior cries, sulfuric tears, and with great barrel loads of laughter, waiting, watching 24/7/365. Whatever it takes, they will give, breaking the rules, shaking mediocrity from its cozy little hide, laying down their rights and their precious little wrongs, laughing at labels, fasting essentials. The advertisers cannot mold them. Hollywood cannot hold them. Peer pressure is powerless to shake their resolve at late night parties before cockerel cries. They are incredibly cool, dangerously attractive inside, and on the outside, they hardly care. They wear clothes like costumes to communicate and celebrate, but never to hide. Would they surrender their image or their popularity? They would lay down their very lives, swap seats with the man on death row, guilty as hell, a throne from an electric chair, with blood and sweat and many tears, with sleepless nights and fruitless days. They pray as if it all depends on God, and live as if it all depends on them. Their DNA chooses Jesus. He breathes out and they breathe in. Their subconscious sings. They had a blood transfusion with Jesus. Their words make demons scream in shopping centers. Don't you hear them coming? Herald the widows, summon the losers and the freaks. Here comes the frightened and the forgotten. With fire in their eyes, they walk tall and trees applaud. Skyscrapers bow, mountains are dwarfed by these children of another dimension. Their prayers summon the hounds of heaven and invoke the ancient dream of Eden. And this vision will be, it will come to pass. It will come easily, and it will come soon. How do I know? Because this is the longing of creation itself, the groaning of the spirit, the very dream of God. My tomorrow is his today. My distant hope is his 3D, and my feeble, whispered, faithless prayer invokes a thunderous, resounding, bone-shaking, great amen. From countless angels, from heroes of the faith, from Christ himself. And he is the original dreamer, the ultimate winner, guaranteed.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.